Welcome to the ZeldaCast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined, as always, by Allison Aletha. What is going on today, Al? How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't know about today yet. Today is still happening, but I've had like a bomb weekend. I went to a drag show on Friday, and that was super fun. And except my ears were bleeding afterwards. And then... yesterday I hung out with Catherine and played some Wind Waker while she played Majora's Mask. Chair 2 was there for a minute too. And then today I get to talk to one of my besties about Zelda.
You know, by the way, but I saw you guys hanging yesterday and I was like, I wonder if it's official business or like, I almost messaged you because I was at home. Sam went out to her parents for a couple hours. And so I'm playing through the OG Final Fantasy 7 right now. And my Switch dies. And I'm like, do I want to go down to my cold basement and play it there? Where I already work 40 hours a week in my cold basement. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think I do. So I was kind of putzing around, but I was like, I don't really know what to do. So I almost jumped in chat just to hang out. I should have.
We were just chilling. We do this every year before the marathon. We'll pick the games we're going to play and try to practice them a little bit or de-rest. And that's all we were doing. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, next time I see you guys playing... Maybe I'll just jump in. Uninvited or not. Or invited or not? I don't know.
Yeah, everybody's invited.
All right, well, we've got a fun show on tap. We have delayed the show that we were originally going to do yet again, but...
Again.
I think that that's okay, actually, because we had a little bit of a surprise announcement this past week that a... What would you call this? Like, it's not... Because it's not a new entry into the Zelda and Chill pathos, but it's kind of sort of one, right? Like, it's... same universe.
The Zelda-related Game Chops music?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something of that nature.
The point is that there's a new lo-fi Zelda album, and it's called Zelda's Lo-Fi Kingdom, and it's by Jacoby, who you guys may or may not know as the brother of Mikkel, who did the Zelda and Chill series. Jacoby's also released... An amazing album called Chilltendo, and that probably has my favorite track from the entire Zelda and Chill / Chilltendo catalog, which is the Forest Temple. Easy pickings for me, but so that news dropped, I think, shortly. I actually think it dropped as soon as we finished recording last week, right?
You sent it to me right after we finished recording. Yeah. It may have been like there for about an hour, I think, I want to say. But even still, it was just like, what the heck? Because for me, the way I reacted was like, first of all, Zelda and Chill 3, I thought that was going to be like the final. Well, it is the final Zelda and Chill, but I thought that was going to be like the final work of Mikkel. And then it turns out that he is done, but he helped his brother with this album a little bit. Like, he's featured on a couple songs.
Yeah.
So I was like completely surprised. I had no idea that this was coming.
Yeah, so we pulled an audible and we are going to dive into this album. I use the word review, but that, I mean, listen, we're just two schmucks that are going to give our thoughts on a couple of songs on the album. The album's great. Just to throw that out there before anything, it's a really quality entry into the Zelda and Chill like Legendarium, I guess.
The multiverse of Zelda and Chill.
Right.
I don't know.
That's right. I mean, check it out. It's great. But we're gonna dive in. We'll go song by song. We'll just give some notes and stuff like that. We'll have some fun just talking about some music. We're not gonna play the music, I don't think, during the stream. Just while we make sure to see if we. Could, can't, shouldn't, could, whatever, do that. So definitely go and check this album out. It's on YouTube, it's on Spotify. All you need to do is search Zelda's Lo-Fi Kingdom. You can search for Game Chops or you can search for Jacoby. You will find all of the album, the information that you're needing. Before we get there, There's a little bit of unfinished business from last week.
Yeah.
That I wanted to put a bow on here. We had a, well, we had a, quite a raunchous week, actually, in our Discord, debating some of those Zelda hot takes that we did last week. And you know what? Before we do anything, I will actually say that I didn't really hear anybody grumbling about our takes to the Zelda Dungeon staff hot takes, with the exception Corey stuck his big fat head in there and he's like, oh, the Triforce quest is great because you can optimize it and sailing is awesome. And I mean, whatever, that's great. If you know what, that's great. Other than that one jabroni who I knew was coming, I didn't see any like really big strong reactions to it, which I think just really means that, like, you and I have just very based takes, maybe the definitive takes. I think that's fair to say that, yeah, our takes are, like, always correct.
People agreed that they were like, oh, Rod's hot take was just way too spicy. And same with Judy about Mipha, or Alex about Ocarina of Time. Like, people agreed that those were just, like, way too spicy. Like, definite hot takes.
The hottest take was the one that we actually ended the show on, though, that caused the most consternation, was the Majora's Mask take from our pal Leslie. And we got to give a shout out to Leslie, because, man, mm-hmm. I mean, she drove the narrative. She got
the assignment.
That's right. She got people talking. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so the gist of hers was that there was the game was a broken and glitchy mess and everything like that. And I don't know. I was kind of like, I was like, what world am I living in? Like, this was not the case. And like, we had a lot of conversation about that. And I saw a lot of people agreeing with her. And I guess what I wanted to bring up on this show here was that, hey, listen, I don't mean to, if you experienced Majora's Mask and it was glitchy and messy and whatever for you, that's totally valid. I'm sorry that happened. I've just, for me, I have played Majora's Mask multiple times in my tenure on this planet, and I've never experienced that, ever.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I feel like, since we're such a huge part of the Zelda community and we're so deep in there, I feel like we would have heard the constant grumble that Majora's Mask is such a mess. And
that's right.
We didn't. And so one of the conversations that kept coming up is people were like, yeah, it is broken if you're looking for the break. And I'm like, but that's not what we're saying.
Yes.
We're saying that the average player who's just enjoying it, not trying to find glitches, not trying to, you know, break the game, is actually having an enjoyable experience. It's not broken in a way that makes it unplayable. But you could say that about so many games out there today. You could say that you can go find the break and you could go find the glitch, and that's fine, but it's not the same as saying that the game itself is a glitchy, broken mess.
Right. Like, there are more glitches in Breath of the Wild than there are in Majora's Mask. Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, Skyrim, one of the most celebrated games of all time.
That's a pretty almost broken game.
Right. So my whole thing was like, what? Like, there's a hot take, and then there's just stuff that's not necessarily, I don't believe to be accurate. Like at all. There's a little bit of fact there. It was an opinion, but there's a little bit of fact in there as well. And I was just like, I don't know, man. And we had Goo drop the Metacritic scores of all of the different reviewers that reviewed it at the time when it came mm-hmm. out back in 2000. And it was like, glowing. And
yeah, because that was another part of the statement, yeah, that it wasn't popular until later,
right,
due to other outside factors.
And listen, when you release, when I say you, when somebody, a publisher, releases a game that is so exceptionally non-playable or non-broken, you don't even have to be part of the fandom to know about it. I think we've all heard about how Cyberpunk 2077 went on launch, how No Man's Sky went on launch, how Sea of Thieves went on launch, probably 100 others that I'm forgetting. There was that game that was like released for one day and then they pulled it like a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that game was. Like I'm talking, like, this is the same console that had Superman 64 on it, which I've played and is a glorious train wreck. But like, I don't know, man. There's not quite the same.
I've played broken games and I've still loved them. Like Portia, when it first came out, my time at Portia, so broken, almost unplayable on a console other than PC.
Right.
And they did a lot of updating to fix it, and that's great. It's still a little wonky, but like, I feel like I know what a broken and glitchy mess looks like, and Majora's Mask
Right.
was never it.
I agree. I agree. But hey, if you don't, that's totally cool. Leslie, you did a great, you gave us a lot of content. So, I
The
mean,
hottest take.
there we go. We should be thanking you, and we are thanking you for that. So, all right, let's, now that we've put a bow on that, let's move on. Let's talk about this album, Zelda's Lo-Fi Kingdom. And as the name implies, this is strictly a Tears of the Kingdom lo-fi album. Or kind of sorta is a strictly Tears of the
I feel like
Kingdom lo-fi album.
it was majority Tears of the Kingdom. Some of it could be mixed with Breath of the Wild, but the
Right.
rest is like it no other song, like no other games pop up in this album.
Right. Now, I just want to throw out something into the universe before we get into this, just to see, or just to say that I've said it. I'm going to have some critiques for this album, but I don't think that any of them are production critique. Like every song I think sounds good in its own way. Like every song sounds really good in its own way, and I think it's a really worthwhile album, and I think that you should listen to it, and I think it's a perfectly great addition to the Zelda and Chill series. So I just wanted I wanted to get that out of the way because I will have some critiques, and I don't want to sound like old man Spiteri on the podcast here. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Go check this album out. Listen for yourself. I mean, music is so subjective anyways that like it's almost impossible. Like unless you're Rod saying Ballad of the Goddess is a bad song. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like you're always gonna have different opinions about it. So I think that this is a quality album. I just wanted to say that I will have some critiques though. And Allison, maybe we should start off with the conversation that we had shortly before going live here today.
Okay. So when this album dropped on Friday, I had a feeling, like the first time I listened to it, I had this feeling that, and I don't know if I actually really know your music tastes all that well, but I just had this feeling that I was like, I don't know if Andy's gonna be totally in love with this like I am. And so I asked him like right before, I'm like, is that true? And he was like, why do you think that's true? And I said, because it's slower and it's a different vibe. It's like a way chill, way more chill than the Zelda and Chills.
I think you do know my music taste pretty well. I mean, even like outside from this, I feel like you know my music taste pretty well. I feel like I know yours like kind of well. I was listening to Defector by Muse this morning and I thought of you.
Love it.
I think you're right on the money. I think you were right on the money for the exact reason that you said. And I wrote that note down actually. It's a it puts the chill in Zelda and Chill. It's very soft, it's very slow, it's very understated, like perfect study music, perfect music to go to sleep to. And here's the disadvantage that this album inherently has, which is like, and especially because Jacoby and Michael are brothers, but it is tough not to compare
It is
the
tough,
two of them. And I think the two albums, well, sorry, I'm probably gonna make this mistake a bunch. If I say two albums, really what I mean is Lo-Fi Kingdom and then the entire Zelda and Chill collective. So I think that Lo-Fi Kingdom, the difference between that and the Zelda and Chill series is that, yeah, you're right. The vibe is different. There was a little bit more energy, a little bit more bop, a little bit more,
In Zelda and chill.
yeah, in Zelda and Chill. And I do think that that is largely missing in this album, which is fine. But that being said, for me, it didn't have that same kind of I don't know, punch maybe is the word. But I think it wasn't going for that, which is probably good because I think that you should be different from Zelda and Chill. I guess maybe I was just looking for something more in like the same kind of tone or experience in Zelda and Chill because as I mentioned, Chill Tendo, I love that album, and it's a great album actually from Jacoby. There's a bunch of there's awesome music from non-Zelda series too. There's some Xenoblade there, Mario, etc. But like even the even the Zelda tracks that were on that album, like the After Battle Calm and the Twilight Princess game, and then like the Forest Temple, and I think he did Fairy Fountain as well. Those ones I felt kind of had like the same energy as Zelda and Chill. So I guess that was my expectation going into this album, which it wasn't quite the same. But I listened to it and I was pretty sure that you would love it.
I did love it. So I understand and I think like all your opinions are valid, but I also want to encourage the difference. I want to encourage the fact that you want to be in a certain type of mood to listen to Zelda and Chill, and then you could be in a different mood for this album, and or you could just be in the same mood, because I just throw them all into my lo-fi, like my fave lo-fi playlist, and I don't care what comes on because it's all pretty great. But like I thought this about Zelda and Chill 3 too. I also thought it had a different sound than the other two Zelda and Chills, and I really liked it. And then this was again a different sound, and I love that it's I just love that it's different, I guess. And I love that even though we're going to compare the brothers, like I love that you can tell that Jacoby has a totally different sound going on than Michael does. So I thought it was great. It gave me very much like I was in a spa, or I was on a lake walk, or sometimes I felt very Stardew Valley-ish with it. And yeah, I loved it a lot.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think it's just like it's not a fair comparison, and it probably shouldn't exist, but let's just be real, it does. But yeah, like I like that this album is trying to go for a different path, because I think it probably knows it's going to invite those comparisons. So like it tries to be softer and I mean quite literally more chill than Zelda and Chill did. So yeah. I think that's a wise decision that this album does. And I have a couple of other notes and everything here. And I wouldn't say... See, I have one big critique of this album, which I guess I'll save until maybe either after or during when we start going track by track. But it's got nothing to do with like the style of the album. While I don't love... I don't like that style. Doesn't resonate with me as much as like a more upbeat kind of like, you know, synthy fun style.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing for this album at all. Like actually, but I do have some critiques of some other things which we can talk about.
Okay.
So I don't know. Do you just anything else before you just want to get going here, Al, or should we just start going? I have notes for like every track.
I do too, and I also want to say this: like when it comes to music. I do this a lot where it's like the first time I listen to it, I don't know if I'm ever like 100% behind something like Breath of the Wild's music. And like the title too. I was like, I don't know. And then the more I hear it, I'm like, this is bomb. I did the same with Zelda and Chill 3 when we reviewed it back in the day. And I did the same with this where I was like, the majority of the songs I was instantly like behind, but like there was some where I was like, I don't know if I like this. And the more I listened to it, I was like, no, actually, this is a jam. I like this. So it's kind of funny. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to this album to like give it a few chances and then determine like, no, I don't like this. Or yes, I think this is great.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, that's a great point is that like I said, I only listened to it one time so far. I listened to it last night. I was making some notes and, you know, I'm sure that this will go onto my playlist and into my rotation quite a bit. So, you know, I feel like for me, like it kind of does take a little bit of time in order to like, when you hear it for like the fourth, fifth, sixth time, you're just like, okay, like there's Gerudo Town. There's the title theme. Like, yeah. And actually I should mention one other thing too, before we get going, which, and by the way, to anybody that didn't know, we did an interview with Michael back in, I want to say, what, November 2020?
Whenever Zelda 2 came out.
Yeah.
Zelda 2.
I remember that interview because I had just moved into my house. My office was empty, so we couldn't record there because there was this big echo. So I actually recorded upstairs in my bedroom, and I was sitting on like a little stool and like had my computer on the dresser. So that's a pretty cool interview as well. I always remember being shocked that like he didn't really play any Zelda games, because I had a bunch of questions lined up for like, you know, what's your favorite Zelda game?
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know, I've only played the Wind Waker. I was like, oh, That, okay. Yeah. So we have that interview for anybody that wants to listen to that too. But where I was going with that actually is during that interview, one of the questions that we asked Michael was like, "Hey man, like how important is awesome album artwork?" And he said that it was vastly important to him, which I agree with.
Yes.
And this album definitely understands the importance of that. I think the album artwork is awesome for this.
It's incredible.
It looks and really good.
Has the moving animation too, like if you click on it in Spotify. So like the last one had the moving automation with like the they were kind of starting to look at the sky and stuff before Tears of the Kingdom came out. And then this one is very Tears of the Kingdom with the ring ruins, but the waterfall is moving and it's so cool. Like
looks
the
awesome.
Album art is always spot on with these albums.
And again, I think it looks great because it's very different. Like it's very like the Zelda and Chill albums were like kind of almost cartoony a little bit, which I think looked great, but like this one is very detailed. It reminds me of there's this French artist called I believe Mobius who's like a very prolific artist in the, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and they had like really intricate detailed work, like almost, this is a bad comparison, but like almost like Where's Waldo level of detail and everything. And I really love the detail here, and I think Link looks great. I think the waterfall looks great. The Guardians, like it's very cool artwork. I think it's like, I don't know, it's such like an important but underrated part of an album, you know?
Yeah, I mean, usually I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, but like this is definitely like, if I don't know, do they have physical releases of these?
I think they will. I don't think there's any yet, but I would bet that there's probably a vinyl coming somewhere down the road.
Somewhere down the road. Like if they did, I would love to get them just because of how cool the album cover looks.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Actually, you know what? I have one final qualifier before we get talking on this list. And that is this, and you're going to take a big dump all over me for saying this. And I can hear everyone taking a big dump on me for saying this, but just like you were saying with Breath of the Wild, how it took you a little bit to really kind of appreciate the music, which it did for me as well. It took me like at least a good year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
I still don't know if I'm 100% there yet with Tears of the Kingdom's music, particularly because so much of it is recycled from Breath of the Wild that I'm just like, what is Tears of the Kingdom's music? Like aside from the main theme, like, aside from Kolgara, I guess, like, what are, like, the tracks from that game?
And I feel like I can answer that question, and I have in the past. I am going to poop on
I just, like, said. For me, like, if I'm thinking of my favorite tracks from that game, it's like, what are they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have any, like, favorite tracks. So I think that maybe feeds into some of the opinions that I will share on this album as well. But that's enough dilly-dallying here, Al. We've set the table. Okay. I think it's time for us to get going here.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Do you want to lead the charge? Do you want me to lead the charge?
I'll lead the charge. Okay. This is fine.
Yeah, I want to be in the passenger seat here.
Okay, we're just going to go each song as they appear on the album. And I think we're going to, rank them 1 through 5, how we feel about them, and give our notes, etc.
Do you want to do rankings, or do you want to just give notes? You're in the driver's seat. You tell me. I'm following your lead.
Let's not do rankings, but maybe if we get to a track where you're like, this is my top track of the of the thing, or this is my least favorite track, we can talk about that.
I think you could probably guess my top track. I feel very confident you could probably guess it. And I'll, and when we get there, say it, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start with title theme, which is the first one. And I actually really like that in Zelda and Chill 3 that the whole album ended with the credits theme. Like, that was the last track. And I love that this one starts with title theme. So I think that's really, like, a neat touch. I don't know if that's intentional. It feels intentional to me. But anyways, this is one that where it took me a second to get into because it takes the... It takes, like, the main theme of Tears of the Kingdom and does kind of, like, it does, like, have, like, a good beat. It's very slow, but it's also very, like, repetitive. And so it took me a minute where I was like, okay, I actually really do like this. I love the opening. It kind of gives me the vibes of, obviously, Tears of the Kingdoms, but also, like, skydiving is what I would instantly think of, especially like down into the depths, the little tinkle that happens. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you like the main Tears of the Kingdom theme kind of over and over again. And I really do like this one. It just took me a minute to get there.
I like it too. I thought that this was a really strong way to open the album. I like the little like jingle, like to do to do to do to do, like that. I think that sounds great. Mm-hmm. This is probably going to be the signature track off of this album. Like if you were releasing singles, this would be the first single that you'd release, and it probably should be, because it's the most recognizable theme, I think, that's unique to Tears of the Kingdom on mm-hmm. this album. So I quite like it a lot. It wasn't my favorite track on the album. But I thought that it was really, really strong. And I guess the one thing, I don't know if this is a critique or not, but I noticed it in this album and in this song in particular. You know how the main theme of Tears of the Kingdom, and Breath of the Wild is guilty of doing this too, but it's really prevalent in the main theme, where it's like there's that weird kind of vocal where it's like ha ha ha, and it's like this weird. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Da, da, da,
da, da. There's a lot of remix to that vocal in here, which is like, I can't tell if I like that vocal or not. And I'm talking about like mm-hmm. the Nintendo main theme here that they produce, where I think like the part where it's like, da, 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 da. I don't know. It's that I can't even make my voice go that high. It's like this opera yodel, but it's, I don't know. I'm still figuring out how I feel about that. So to see that remix in here was one, very representative of the title track, like I said, but then two, I was like, do I like this? I don't know if I like this or not. Like, like, I don't know.
I think maybe you just need a couple listens and like to get it, give it a minute, and then maybe you'll like it.
Well, like I'm talking about on like the actual main theme from Nintendo, like that style. Oh, okay. Like, mm-hmm. like I think it sounds like in this remix, you've remixed it. You've done all that you've done all you can to make that sound mm-hmm. good. I just don't know if like the base material of it sounds good.
I do like what you're talking about in the bass material. I think it's fun. I think it gives it like an interesting, different kind of sound yeah. than we're used to for like main themes.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that this is a really fun track, a strong track, and the right track to kick the album off.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next track, which is The Lost Woods. And obviously this is The Lost Woods like version, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, not like Saria's song, which I'm glad for, because as we've talked about in, I think it was last episode with
the hater,
I don't really care for that song. So I thought this was like, this is a very mid track for me. It's very understated, it's very mellow, kind of ethereal, kind of zen and eerie. And I dig it. Like, it gives you that feeling like, yeah, you're in the Lost Woods in Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, but also there's kind of a bop to it, too. And, like, the beat hits, and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of in the zone with this. But I could zone out with it and not really hear it. That's kind of how mid it is.
I like this song, actually, a lot. I think it's one of the stronger tracks on the album.
Okay.
But I think that because I really quite like the theme for The Lost Woods and Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, like the do-do-do-do-do-do. It's got that shaky, Korok, creepy kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Which I think that this song does a really good job of capturing. So yeah, it's like, it's just like a solid remix track. Like, I didn't really have any other notes to, really, other than that. Just to say, like, I think it sounds nice. It sounds solid. It's got a creepy vibe to it. Like, I kind of like what we were going for here on this track. And it was I don't know. It was just like it was a different track. And as we get into the next track on the album, then some of my critiques are going to start to rear their heads. But I like the fact that this was, again, unique to this album.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it, too. All right. Next track, Korok Forest. Korok Forest. So I know that we've had Korok Forest in, I think it was Zelda and Chill 2 that Michael did.
That's correct.
And it's a very like jammy kind of, it's kind of a little bit more faster paced, more like upbeat kind of jam. But this is like really slow vibe, really like cozy, very, I'm trying to like use more proper adjectives, because I'm going to say like vibe and chill a lot, even though like that's the kind of genre we're listening to. But it really like tones it down. And I think it's great, actually. I wouldn't say it's like my favorite, but I think like I would be in one mood to have Michael's, like listen to Michael's, and then I would want to be in a different mood to listen to Jacoby's.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I didn't like this one as much. This was actually one of my lesser favorite tracks on the album. One, because I don't know. I was kind of like, all right, heard this before. And unfortunately, my stylistic choice, if given the option, is like, I'll take the upbeat, more peppy version. And I do have the option here. So it's like, well, I'm going to take that one because it resonates a little bit more with me. You're totally right. What this is going for is different. It's a little bit, obviously, calmer, more chill. Just, I don't know. This kind of, to me, let me rephrase what I'm about to say. I think knowing what we qualified everything at the top before we started getting into the song-by-song breakdown, I think that everybody involved, including Jacoby, including Michael, including Game Chops, probably knew that this was inevitably going to be fairly or unfairly compared to Zelda and Chill. And I think if that was going to be the case, I would have made my best effort to be very different from that album. And particularly choosing no tracks that had been covered on those albums. And unfortunately, this is the first of multiple tracks that are very similar, and I totally get it. You want to do your own interpretation. I think that's, you know, that's fine, but I think it makes those comparisons really easy. And if you are potentially someone like me who might prefer a little bit more, you know, monster energy in your morning shake, then I don't know if this one is going to quite cut the mustard for you.
Okay.
That was how I felt about it, where I was like, okay, I've heard this before. Like, I think I like the other version better. I was kind of like, all right, let's get to the next song here. And I guess that's how I felt.
Okay. I think that's kind of fair. I think, like you said, it's really hard to not compare the two. And really hard not to think, like, oh, there's another version of this. I kind of want to go on in the album to hear, like, other different songs.
Yeah, and to make another analogy here, how about this analogy? There's a song that I think everyone listening to this will know. It's called How You Remind Me by Nickelback. Great song. Quality song from Alberta Boys Nickelback. And many years later, Avril Lavigne covered that song, but she covered it in a vastly different style. Like, it was slow, it was chill, it was creepy sounding, it was, dare I say, haunting. Now, that was so different that you listen to the two and you're like, okay, like, they're completely different things. Where I might suggest that obviously these tracks are different, right? But they're not like worlds different.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would say that as well.
They're not so far apart.
Yeah, they're clearly different. Like, they're very different. They're going for different vibes, but it's not so different that it's like almost like a brand new song.
I would feel like this next one is a more original and definitely I feel like a highlight of this album, which is Sky Labyrinth. And I remember being like, I don't really remember what the Sky Labyrinth sounds like, so I went to listen to the original track and I was like, this is kind of like unsettling. I didn't really like the original. Like, there's a sound in it that I like, but the rest, there's all these like weird tingling sounds, and I'm like, I don't really like that. But this, the remix, is actually quite good. It's definitely a vibe, but it also introduces like the main Zelda theme in parts of it, which I think is a cool addition. So not only did they like take the Sky Labyrinth theme, which is very repetitive and very like understated, but they added something to it, which I think makes it a highlight track of this album.
Yeah, I agree. I like this track. I think it's one of the upper tier tracks for me. I actually think that they might have even added the main theme too much. A little bit too much. But that's a very, very minor nitpick there. Yeah, I think that it's a cool sound. The word that I used was shaky. Like, I feel like when you listen to the both the remakes and the original version, there's like this shaky feeling, like you're almost ready to fall over at any point. In the it's mm-hmm. It's almost like the Lost Woods kind of vibe, actually.
Very similar vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, again, did a very good job of taking that and making it into a very funky and cool remix. And this is the kind of stuff I like, where it's like, if you're not going to do upbeat, do something that's kind of like got a little bit of like weird, shaky, spooky vibes to it, where you can make mm-hmm. something a little bit different. So I thought that this was a great track as well. This features Michael on it, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just I thought I'd point that out. Yeah, I thought that this was I thought that this was cool. I like this track. I would say it's probably like a top five track on the album for me.
Okay, top five is, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I know that I shared this album with Catherine the other day, and she said I think this is her favorite track, The Sky Labyrinth.
Okay.
She's like, I'm really jamming to this, so there All you right. go. Okay, so this one, I feel like this one's in a kind of an odd space, because it is original to this album, but it has a sound similar to the other album. So, Rideau Village.
Yes.
Obviously is like a remix in itself of Dragon Roost Island.
Yeah.
Which you have on Zelda and Chill 1, I think.
Yeah.
And again, it's hard not to make the comparison. Dragon Roost Island and Rideau Village, different songs, but very similar. And really, Rideau Village just sounds like a slowed down version of Dragon Roost Island, in my opinion. But it's still really good. Like, it's still very, like, serene. I really dig the vibe of it. I would want to be in a different mood for both songs.
Yeah. You kind of said what I was thinking, and this is probably going to sound dumb, but let me try and explain why this is one of my least favorite tracks on the album. Okay. Is that... So obviously, like you said, Rideau Village is a remix of Dragon Roost Island. Totally mm-hmm. fine. And in the game, you can totally understand this is a remix of an older song from a different Zelda game. And in the game, you're like, wow, that's a really nice sounding remix. It sounds different. It sounds great. However, the unfortunate part is that when you remix the remix, it sounds like you're just remixing the first song, Dragon Roost Island, which has already been remixed on the first Zelda and Chill. And I don't know, like, and I guess this is maybe like semantics kind of thing, but it sounds just like a remix of Dragon Roost Island instead of a remix of Rideau Village to me, which I could hear some people say, like, well, what the hell is the difference? It really, like, of course it does. Rideau Village is a remix. And like, I get that. I guess what I'm just saying is, like, I might have, again, just maybe went with a different track in that case. Because number one, you have this on Zelda and Chill. Number two, Rideau Village is already a remix in and of itself. And number three, I just think that by remixing this, you kind of... I don't know. I guess you kind of lose what makes Rideau Village, like, kind of special. Or, like, maybe they're... You know how we were talking last week how, like, in every snow level in the entire world that's ever existed, there's those chimes to let you know you're in a snow level? Maybe some of those guys could have got... I don't know. Maybe we could have had those. And I'm just... Like I said, I'm just some schmo listening to someone else's work that they put a lot of time and effort into, and the finished product sounds incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought that this one was kind of just like, yeah.
Okay. I did wind up liking it. I think what would have actually matched this album really well is if they did the Phenomena sounding version of Rideau Village, where they're in the blizzard, which is really eerie and ethereal, which is kind of what I feel is going on in this album. So I wonder if that could have been like a vibe they could have attempted. But overall, I think it's like I think it's fine. And I think that, like I said, I like it for if I'm in a mood for something like really slow, tranquil, and just way more chill than the Zelda and Chill version.
Okay. So this is track number two that I think I may have just went with something different. Let's keep going.
Okay, this one, I actually... You know what? This might be my favorite track. Okay, so Hateno Village is the next track in this album, which, of course, Michael also did in Zelda and Chill 1, I believe. And that one is like a little bit more fast paced, a little bit more boppy, but I love, there's something just so tranquil about this version of the song. It makes me feel like I'm in a cozy farming sim game and like I'm walking by a lake or I'm out doing a little bit of farming. And I actually think I like this one better. Like we've been comparing and sometimes we're like, Michael's better. This is one where I think Jacoby's is better, and it might be my favorite, one of my favorite tracks from this album.
Fair enough. This one didn't do it for me. Again, we've been there before, seen it, done it before. I would have went for something unique. I guess like when I think Kitano Village, I do not think Tears of the Kingdom. Right? Like I don't know. I just don't. And that really is a Tears of the Kingdom problem that you know we've been complaining or I've been complaining about for forever is like so many of the locations are the same. That's just a me thing. I thought that this was the third track that I might have substituted out for something different and more Tears of the Kingdom E, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But like when you listen to it, like it does sound really nice.
Yes. I like it a lot. All right, let's move on to Sidon's theme. I'm gonna let you kick this one off because I don't really particularly feel very strongly, that was a very long sentence, about Sidon's theme or this remix.
Okay. I thought it was like not bad. It's a not bad theme. However, this is what I would say. It sounds a lot like Mipha's
Mipha's
theme
theme.
from Zelda and Chill 3 particularly. So again, it kind of sounds like this is like the arguably for me the fourth track where I'm like, okay, this sounds like maybe ground that we've covered before, which is hard again not to compare. Like I think it sounds actually really great. It's got a cool part in the middle too where it slows down, gets very quiet, very tranquil, and I think that it sounds great. I think that I would have probably liked this track a little bit better if I didn't just listen to Rito Village, Tenno Village, and right before that, Korok Forest as well. I think I would have probably been a little bit more forgiving, maybe is the word. Even though, like, forgiving is the wrong word, but that's the only one I can think of. I probably would have just been like, okay, this sounds like great, actually. Like this is a nice little bop. So, yeah, I guess that's. I put it like right in the middle. I thought that it was nice, but again, kind of like, is this the right track for this album?
Okay. I think it was like lower middle for me. I never felt particularly drawn to like Sidon, his theme or his character. It's a nice song and like this is a nice remix of it, but like if I were in a mood where I'm like on one of those days where I'm like skipping music because I want to go listen to something else and I'm just waiting until I get to it, this is one of those songs I would skip.
Yeah.
So I just don't feel particularly strong about it. This
Fair
next one,
enough.
however, I do feel stronger about.
Okay, go ahead.
Minoru's theme. Minoru's theme is, you know what? I actually tried to find Minoru's theme in like the original soundtrack because I was like, I don't remember Minoru having a theme. And I couldn't find anything. I could find like moments with Minoru. But I don't know if I actually was like, I found her theme at all. But I do actually really love this sound. It's very different to compared to the rest of the album, I think. It gave me like kind of Phi vibes. It gave me kind of like Rotella vibes, maybe like a mixture. Just that kind of like ethereal, like kind of royal sound. And I just actually really liked it a lot. So this is one where it pops up and I'm like, ooh, I really like this version, you know?
Right. Yeah, like I think that this is maybe the quietest, like softest track on the album, which is not a bad thing. Maybe not, but to me it just seemed like very quiet. I'm gonna sound like the world's like biggest hypocrite here, and if anyone wants to call me out on that, that's totally fine. Because I've been on this show so far, be like, I don't know if I would have put that. I would have went for a different, like, more unique Tears of the Kingdom track, which I do believe in. That being said, I don't know if like Minoru's theme was like my top choice. I'm glad that it's on the album though. I will say that, and I think that this is a quality remix. I don't think the source material is something I was like super super excited about, I guess.
Okay.
But I think I like this version better than like the regular like Minoru's theme. That's for sure.
Okay.
So I like that it's here. It wasn't my favorite track on the album, but I like really appreciated it, if that makes sense, you know?
It's like a palate cleanser, you know?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
It's like kind of in the middle, and then it kind of gets you ready for the last half of, or the next half of the album.
I think that's fair. Okay. Let's go.
All right. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is the one where Andy, when he saw the announcement, he was instantly like, look, Al, Michael's going to be a part of the Colgara battle song this album. And he is. And I was so excited for it. And let me tell you, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, I don't know. But now I love it. I do love this. I think it's like, it took me a minute because I'm so used to being like in a grand battle while listening to Colgara's song.
Yeah.
And this takes the best parts of Colgara's song, not like the wind up like we've talked about in the past, but it takes the best parts of it and like just mellows it out, makes it chill, makes it kind of like a, I don't know, like I feel like I'm in like a jazzy bar or something, and it's like, it's really cool. And this is another top track for me, not because it's Colgara, but because they took it and did something different with it. Like it has the same sound and it has like the same kind of Rito vibe, but it's just so different, and I kind of love it.
Yeah, I thought that this sounded good. There's a lot of funky sounds, a lot of cool stuff going on. I think the worst thing about it is, unfortunately, Rito Village is also on the album. Because when you listen to it as an album, right? When you listen to it as an album, you're like, I just listened to this damn song, like not that long ago. Which makes, I think, Rito Village worse in hindsight, unfortunately. But I think that this is a great, it's a great interpretation. I think this is, I mean, other than the title theme, like this is probably the most signature piece of music from Tears of the Kingdom. So I thought that they did a good job remixing it and giving it a little bit of personality, but making sure that it still was that different Jacoby vibe, that different Jacoby chillness that he's going for here. So I think that this kind of pulled everything together really well, and is probably, again, going to be one of the signature tracks on the album. It wasn't necessarily like, I'd say it was in like my top half of the album, like mid to top half. There was a few more that I liked more than it, but I thought that it did a very good job just kind of weaving everything together.
Okay. I have a feeling about your favorite song. There's two I had in mind when you said you're like, I bet you can guess. So there's the next one is one of the ones I had in mind, which was Zora's Domain.
Negative.
No, okay, then I know.
It's your other guess.
Okay, so Zora's Domain is another track in this, and I actually didn't look it up. Is there a Zora's Domain that Michael does? I can't remember. I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty sure this is the first ever Zora's Domain that we ever got in Zelda and Chill, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is, and I do like this track. I'm just going to go if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I like this track a lot. I think, it's the Ocarina of Time, Zora's Domain, or at least that's what it sounds like to me. I guess that makes sense, right? Because it's, again, you're remixing a remix, so it's going to sound like the source material. But I feel like that's okay, because we don't have comparables to link this to. It's nice and chill. It's never been done before, which I thought was really great. And I think that this really kind of puts this is like Jacoby being very unique to his style and his strengths and making everything that he does really work, which is like the softer, chiller kind of vibe on this album. I thought that it was a good track. It probably I don't know if I'd maybe top five, maybe like five, maybe like just below, but I like this one. I thought that it was good.
I like this one too. I think it's very strong. I think it gives me his Nintendo and chill vibes, or Nintendo, whatever it's called, Nintendo chill. Like it takes me back to those, like, when he did like Pokemon songs and stuff like that. That's kind of where this took me. It's weird to say this, but it does feel similar to the album, but it also feels a little bit outside of it. Like it does feel a little bit different. And it instantly made me think of like, Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask in the Zora's Domain. And I love this one. Like, it's definitely one where I'm like, as soon as I hear it, I'm like, I feel happy about it.
Yeah, I thought that it was good. So I would say again, one of my more preferred tracks on the album, which is very daring because they lead right into the next song, I'll let you take the reins here.
Okay, so the next song is in my mind similar to Minoru's theme. It's very quiet, very understated, and it's Mipha Court, which I actually like better than like Mipha's theme, in which Michael did in a different album. I like this. It's very graceful. It's which is very Mipha, and I usually don't like Mipha's theme that much. So I really like when I saw that this was gonna be a song. I was like, I don't really remember Mipha Court, but I feel like it's similar to Mipha's theme, and I won't like it. But I actually wound up really liking it.
That's what I thought too. I couldn't quite remember this, and I was like, it's probably just a remix of Mipha's theme. That makes sense to me, and it's not. It's very quiet. I said Minoru's theme was the most quiet and softest on the album. I think this might actually be quieter. A little bit too quiet, I would even suggest. Even by like the standards that we know that this is going to be a more chill album. But I mean, like, I guess it probably should be because it's a place of remembrance and a place of kind of like loss, I guess, in a way. So like, I think in that sense, it's a nice track. It does its job well, and it's different, and it's uniquely Tears of the Kingdom. So it wasn't much like Minoru's theme, actually. Like, it wasn't my absolute favorite, but I'm happy that it was on the album. I appreciate it being on the album, and I thought that it was a good addition to the album.
I agree with like everything you just said. Okay, the next track. I'm actually curious how you feel about this one, because my feelings changed. So what do you think about Gerudo Town from this track, from this album?
I think it's the best track on the album.
Okay, I didn't think that was... I thought Llewellyn was going to be your favorite.
Nope. I think this is...
Okay. All right. Tell me about... It's probably because it's the most upbeat and most, like...
Yeah. Like, you know what? You're probably right.
Pumpy kind of jam in this whole album.
It feels like a Zelda and Chill track. Not a track from Lo-Fi Kingdom, which, like, you're right. Like, it has a little bit of energy to it. And I would say that Llewellyn also has that as well when we get there, but... Yeah, like, the first thing I think is that, number one, I really like Gerudo Town, like, the theme in general, from the base game. Number two, we've never had this before, which I also like. And number three, I just, like, I think it's, I don't know, I just think it's got, like, some energy, it's got some zip, some zap, some bip, some bop to it that, that, I mean, especially coming off of Mipha's Court, like, that's a very, you know, like, you'd be playing that at my funeral and everybody would be crying, right? Like, this one, yeah. you'd be playing at my funeral and everybody'd be like, bid-a-doo, bid-a-doo. You know, like, it's really good. I like the theme a lot. I like this remix a lot. I think that this one will go into definitely my high rotation. I think that it's just like a really fun theme. And I thought that the ending in particular sounded really spectacular. And I guess worth mentioning too, this one also features Michael on it, but, yeah, a very, very good track.
Okay. At first, first chunk of this song, I didn't like it. I was like, I don't know if I like this sound. I don't know. It's like too
Wow. Even weird. The part where it goes...
Yeah, it felt kind of high-pitched, clinky, kind of like ringing in my ears a little bit, and I didn't like it. The more I listened to it, like the second half, I was like, okay, this is jam. I really like the second half of this song because it does kind of evolve. But then the more I listened to it, the more I could get behind it and like get used to the sound, and I was like, okay, overall this track is very fun. It does feel like a very different kind of direction than what we've been doing this entire album. And yeah, it took me a minute of struggling with the sounds from the, like, initial part of the song to really get behind it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't say for me that it's the best track of the album, but I definitely can see why somebody would think so.
I don't know, man. Every time I hear that, it just gets me. I love making that sound, too. Great.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
The next one is... Again, I don't have very strong feelings about this place, but I know that you like Llewellyn Village, so I thought you would really like this track. And to me, it just sounds like Llewellyn. It doesn't really sound like a remix or like a lo-fi, because Llewellyn was already very lo-fi to begin with. So to me, this just sounds like Llewellyn theme.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, but I like this one too. And I do, like, again, it has some some energy to it, which I appreciate, like, just my preferred style, right? Like, and it sounds like very tropical, you know? You know, we talk about, I always say, like, in, you can tell with every snow level ever that there's, like, that little chime or whatever, but, like, in there's, you can tell when something's a tropical theme, too, because it has, like, those little, like, drums, like, the, or, well, I don't know, Doom out there somewhere is losing his mind listening to this, but, like, you could tell the instruments that make a tropical setting, and I don't know, it's almost just, like, one of those things where it just makes me smile, because it's, like, yep, here we go, here's the beach theme, or whatever, and, like, so I like that that's included in this track. You know, now that I think about it, you're probably right, like, it's not that dissimilar from just, like, the regular theme, maybe just, like, some drum and bass added, which I think is fine. You know, mm-hmm. I think that that's okay. But, I enjoyed this theme. It was nice to kind of keep the energy up and keep the energy going. Again, it doesn't, the last two tracks do sort of feel like different vibe than a lot of the rest of the album, because they are more mm-hmm. upbeat and they are more energetic. But, I mean, like, I, for one, wasn't complaining about that. I'd probably say these are my two favorite tracks on the album.
I can see that. Like, I understand that completely. Because these definitely feel more like Zelda and Chill.
Yeah.
Like, they would be on a Zelda and Chill album versus this album, which has been more, like, kind of spa, more zen, more slow. Which is kind of how we end with the final track. And this has to be my favorite rendition of the song. Because both Jacoby and Michael have done versions of the song. They both each have done a different version of the song. And their version sounds similar, whereas this is very slow, very melodic, and it's Great Fairy Fountain, which is initially not my favorite theme in the world. I find it kind of, I don't know, a little grating, a little, I don't know if grating might be a too harsh word, but it's not my favorite. And so usually when it comes to those tracks, because I have them on my playlist from Michael and Jacoby, like, I usually skip them. But I love this. This is so ethereal, so, like, I just feel like, I don't know, like, I'm getting a massage and I'm about to fall asleep. Like, it's so tranquil and I love it. I think it's my favorite version of the song. Did I say the song's name? Great Fairy Fountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it sounded fine. Like, it sounds fine. It's different. But man, I was just like, I don't know, what are we doing here? Like, this to me was like the epitome of, like, maybe we should pick, like, a something we haven't done, because both Jacoby and Michael have done this theme before, and
yeah, but, like, it's so different. Like, if you literally listen to them back to back, it is so different.
I get it. You're right, it is. And I did listen to the other versions. I don't know. I to me, and we'll get into this as we kind of, you know, put our finishing touches on the album here, but I was just like, to me, like, we left off, like, some pretty cool music from Tears of the Kingdom to do, like, another, like, Great Fairy track or whatever, mm-hmm. which, you know, and again, the Great Fairy track is just a remix of the Fairy Fountain, which is, like, one of the oldest themes in Zelda, right? So,
yeah.
So, to me, I was just like, you know, this sounds fine. I think I put it, like, dead in the middle, but I was just kind of like, would have maybe preferred something else. And I think that's ultimately my biggest critique of the album. Like, the album sounds fine. If you listen to it from start to finish, it's great. Like, you'll mm-hmm. feel relaxed. You'll feel zen. You'll feel chill. I think, like, for me, though, as a listener that likes to listen to individual songs, particularly if I'm listening to, like, Game Chop Radio, which I often do at work. Like, I just have it on and there's lo-fi playing or whatever, and you get, like, the individual songs that get weaved in. I don't know. I'm not excited about another Great Fairy or another version of Hateno or a different remix of Dragon Roost Island. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's probably not fair to this album. That's just, I cannot tell a lie. That is how I feel.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you, like, keep it by itself, like, the album overall, I think it does its job. Like, it's clearly supposed to be the more chill version of a Zelda and Chill album.
Yeah.
But I do agree with what you're saying, that there are other versions done by his brother that, you know, like, you could have chose a different track. But well, I also think that's unfair. Also, Jacoby. Maybe Jacoby is just like, I actually really like these tracks and I want to do my own rendition of it, whether it's compared to my brother's or not.
And I think that is totally fine.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just, for me, you know, like I said, one schmo listening to this album, which I'm sure is going to be a super big hit, and probably should be a big hit because it sounds great.
Let me go back because I noticed this album came out on Friday. It came out on Friday and I'm on Spotify. Let me go back to the album really quick if it'll hurry up. Mm-hmm. There's already like thousands and thousands and thousands of plays. So Sky Labyrinth looks like has the most plays, which is 11,826 plays. Lost Woods is right behind it with 10,000. And then Andy's favorite, which is Gerudo Town, is like at almost 5,000. So like the fact that this just came out Friday and people know these brothers and know the music that Game Chops, you know, releases, like everybody was super excited for this, obviously.
Yeah. And I was kind of wrestling with myself how I was going to sound on this podcast, because like I feel like I came off that I didn't like the album, and I do like the album. Like I think it's a great listen from start to finish. I think for me, I think I just might have chosen some different tracks for the album, because by my count, and again, this is probably just me, but like by my count, there are 7 tracks from this album which are from Breath of the Wild, like that originally came in Breath of the Wild, and then there are, I mean, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 tracks also that are like remixes of other Zelda tracks, you know? So, I don't know. For my money, I might have just... and I guess like also, while I'm kind of flapping my yap here, it's like, I think that like the tracks on the album... they all sound good, but when you think of some of the ones that were left off from Tears of the Kingdom, I'm thinking like, man, it would have been like really cool to have like an energetic, upbeat Master Koga lo-fi, like do, or like what about the Lightning Temple? That would have been amazing, and again, very Tears of the Kingdom to me. I was actually looking for, I still don't know what the hell this is actually called. I keep calling it like that breakdown part, but like that would have been an awesome creepy track, like like the part in the trailer where it, you know, right before Ganondorf or whatever. And Ganondorf's theme too, I think would have been awesome. And the shrine themes. Like there's a few pieces of music that I might have found particularly to me as like a listener more exciting than hearing Hiteno again or hearing you know, Great Fairy Fountain again. But that's just me.
I am wondering if Jacoby's going to continue with, like, this Zelda Lo-Fi Kingdom. Like, maybe he'll make a Zelda Lo-Fi Kingdom 2. Like, I really hope so, because I do feel like there are other tracks that he could do. Like, I'm very satisfied with the ones that he has on this album. But, like, yeah, it would be cool to get, like, a lo-fi Light Dragon theme. Or Dragonhead Island is a very lo-fi piece of like ethereal piece that would fit perfectly here, or like Frozen Rito Village. I think that those are all really like interesting tracks that could have matched the vibe of this album. So I'm hopeful that Jacoby continue. I know Michael said he was done, but I'm hopeful that Jacoby continues to do some Zelda lo-fi music and comes out with another album with some of those songs that I'd love to hear.
I think it'd be cool actually just to see like Chill Tendo 2. Because like some of his Xenoblade stuff, the Pokemon stuff, I loved that stuff. Like I thought it was so awesome, and again, like I just kind of feel like it's nice to, like, you know what I mean? Like you're gonna get those comparisons. So just like, I don't know, for me I would be totally down to see like Chill Tendo 2 and see like some Zelda tracks on there. Gloom's Descent, as someone just correctly pointed out to me, is what that breakdown track is called, and some other like really really awesome tracks. But like, you know, maybe, I don't know, do you like playing, what if he's a Metroid fan, you know, throw some Metroid on there. What if like you're you know, your Animal Crossing or whatever, right? Like so I think Chill Tendo 2 would be super awesome. I guess I would say this is like I think that The production on this album is great. I think the piano work from Jacoby is fantastic on this album, consistently from start to finish. And I think that, like, It's a really like quality, like I said, it's a really quality addition to the Zelda and Chill like series there. And I think that it's super easy listening as well. So I think that, you know, I think on the whole, I know that I had some critiques here and there. I think that one, like it's a different style, of course. It's a little bit, I mean, obviously it's more chill. It's a little bit low, more low key. But yeah, I think that this is a great album. I do think if it would have been me, I might have just done a couple of different tracks just to give it a more unique flavor. But again, who the hell am I?
I mean, I don't have much to add. I love it, and I am adding it to my lo-fi. I love the fact that these guys have been doing music for quite a few years now, at least as long as Breath of the Wild, I think.
Yeah.
They could have been doing longer. And I've been like slowly growing an album, and like in addition with Game Chops, like they've been working with Coffee Date too for the Stardew Valley album.
Yeah.
I've been like slowly collecting those, and when I'm in the mood, it's just like really lovely background music to help me with like concentrating. If you have ADHD, I really think that this album like helps, because it helps you like not have too much distraction, like when you're trying to focus on something. Like this is what these songs do for me, is like help me focus. And I think that's part of what their purpose is. So yeah. I'm excited that this came out, and I'm really hoping that there's more, because I was bummed when, like, I know that Michael wants to do different things, but I was bummed when he said Zelda and Chill 3 was his last. So
right.
I hope they continue in some way.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's a great point actually, is like the album really isn't intended to be listened to from start to finish, analyzing each track. Like it's
right.
This isn't an insult. Like it's background noise, right? Like it's to help you focus. It's to help you. And Zelda and Chill is the same thing. It's just background noise. And so I think in that context, like this album might even actually be better in that way, you know, like than the Zelda and Chills, because it's more subtle, it's more soft. But yeah, I think that this is a great play. I mean, it's been added to I have a lo-fi playlist, which I added all the songs to, so so that's going to be, like I said, going into my rotation. You know, I'm going to shout out another album really, really quickly, just because I've been listening to it a lot this week. I've been listening to Final Fantasy VII Lo-Fi, a great album from Random Beats and Rifty Beats, and it's got this amazing remix of, there's a track from Final Fantasy VII called Anxious Heart. I think if people heard it, they'd probably recognize it, but it's got a really awesome remix for that track, and it sounds super awesome. I've actually had that on like repeat all week, so
nice.
Shout out to Rifty Beats and Random Beats there. But yeah, I think Lo-Fi Kingdom is definitely a solid entry in the Zelda and Chill series. It's definitely the most chill, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be great for like, if you're looking for more chill, this is going to be your favorite album of the bunch, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, this album is available, of course, on Spotify right now. That's where I got mine. It's available over on YouTube. I don't believe that there are any vinyls that are being talked about right now, but that could definitely change in the future. Check out gamechops.com, and then they will, you know, they'll give you any updates there. And then, yeah, just congrats to Jacoby on the release, and an awesome job. And, you know, go listen to this album. It's a cool one. Nice and chill.
Love it. Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts here, Al, before we sign off for yet another week?
That's it for me. I'm good. I'm chill.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Let's let's just remind everybody in that case that you can also check us out wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on, everywhere. Everywhere you can get a podcast, there's a ZeldaCast. So go like and subscribe. And, you know, if you've got a Zelda fan in your life, tell them where they can get their weekly Zelda fix. Go and check us out. If you want to watch us do these shows live, you can tune in every Sunday, usually around noon Mountain Time. We're doing this on twitch.tv/TheZeldaCast. And we have little clips coming up on Zelda Dungeon's YouTube page as well. So lots of opportunities to see our smiling faces as we do these shows. You can check us out over on social media. We are at TheZeldaCast, at Spateri316, at Allison Aletha. And hey, we have a Patreon as well, patreon.com/SPNet. Go and check it out. We got bonus episodes over there. We got the ZeldaCast Top 10s that's rolling along, plus a lot of other different stuff there as well. So that my friends, is going to do it for us. We are going to get out of here. Go give Zelda's Lo-Fi Kingdom a listen. Tell us what you think over in Discord. And we will see you here next week. Until then, everybody, take care.